Welcome to Reframe. This is a place for us to consider the simple changes we can make in the way that we see life. We're all doing the best we can with what we know. But when we reframe the way we see things, we know better. And when we know better, we do better. We create a new thought, and it can't help but affect how we move through the world. Change is an inside job. So I'm here with Jenna Sophia, and many of you have probably heard me speak about her before because I talk about her all the time on my Instagram. And also I've spoken about Psych K, which was introduced to me through her. And she does a little bit of Psych K, but she does so many more things too. So I will just let her introduce herself instead.
Hi, everybody. Thanks, Jenna, for having me. Like Jenna said, I do Psych K. I also do something called Reiki. I'm a Reiki master. I've been practicing Reiki for almost 15 years. I also do something called Emotion Code, which is another way to access the subconscious mind. And I also DJ for fun. So I like to do a bunch of things.
So if you haven't guessed from that intro, she's an MG. And your authority is emotional.
Yes.
And you are a 5'2".
Yes.
Okay, so I think the first thing, what I think is super interesting is, like, obviously you can tell from her voice, and she said she's been doing Reiki for 15 years. Like, she's, you're 20...
26.
Right. So she was literally doing Reiki when she was 11.
Yeah.
Something crazy
like that.
Yeah,
that was my first Reiki attunement at
11. So tell people the story of, like, how you came to Reiki, and what is it that you, like, how were you brought to this sort of body of work?
Yeah, so Reiki was first introduced to me by my mother, as most modalities that I use now in my practice. My mom just does all of that for us. But Reiki was first introduced to me because I was trying to combat my anxiety. I was a very anxious child, and I had a lot of stomach issues growing up. And so my mom was kind of, you know, searching, you know, how can we help her without putting her on pills and kind of putting her in that medical system. So I first was introduced to Reiki when I was 11 years old, and I got my first Reiki attunement. And then over the years, I've just, you know, gone through more of the levels of training until I became a Reiki master, and then started teaching Reiki to others. Actually, back at my old university, funnily enough.
Oh, wow. That's
I just remember
crazy.
How stressful that time was. And I was like, I think they might need this. Yeah. So I, like, reached out to their well-being committee, and I was like, do you think that people would be interested in Reiki treatments or learning Reiki for themselves? And like over 100 people signed up, and I was just so taken aback. I was like, cool, let's do this.
So by the way, that also makes so much sense how, like, so in your human design, you know, in Jenna's chart, like, one of the things I remember saying to her when we looked at her chart was, like, she has this incredible ability and capacity to hold space for other people. And so what's amazing about this story is, like, obviously you were holding so much space, like, even then.
Yes.
At such a young age, still had the ability to, like, hold energy for, like, 100 people.
Totally. And I think that's interesting how you talk about holding space, because yes, I see it as something we do maybe energetically when we're healing people, but also it's interesting because when I was 12 years old, Hurricane Katrina happened. And I remember being there and feeling completely helpless, but also feeling like I can do something. Like, there's something I can do about this. And I got three of my friends, and we created this activism committee, and we told our teacher that we wanted to go and raise money and go to like the South and help out with the hurricane relief.
Wow.
And everyone was like, no, you can't do it. And I was like, watch me. And we took 35, 12 to 14 year olds to the South to do relief work.
Wow.
And we raised like $50,000, and we just went there. I remember, like, going and, like, you know, asking people for money outside of Columbia University, like my old university, being like, do you want to donate? We're going to the South for hurricane relief. Like, would you like to donate? And so I just remember being able to, first of all, have that drive to want to help a lot of people in whatever capacity I could. And at that time, I didn't even know I was a manifesting generator, that I could hold space for people. But I've always found myself getting into situations where I'm trying to help or, you know, uplift people's lives in some way.
Yeah.
And holding space in that way.
Totally. And so what's really cool is that, so the holding space was something specific else that I saw in her chart. Obviously, being an MG makes you, like, super capable, and also people interpret you as, like, I've got this. So they feel safe in your energy, and you're really living it, you know?
Yeah.
And then obviously being a 5'2", and if you've ever had me talk about 5'2s, is, like, I call them the self-motivated heroes, because they're really people that they innately know how to save the day, and they innately have that hero energy, right? It's like really like being able to, that's the inner five. And then, you know, the fact that you don't need someone else to like tell you how to do it. That's like really the energy of a 5-2. So like, even from being a kid, you didn't even need someone to tell you like, oh, you should do this Hurricane Katrina thing. Like yeah. you just did it.
I just
it kind
did
of
it.
Thing.
Yeah. And I was like, whoever's on board will be on board. And it was one of those things that I just knew I wanted to do it. And I really didn't care like how old I was or if it was the right thing or if I needed permission. I kind of just said I wanted to do this. And then, you know, was able to rally enough people around me to support the cause. Mm-hmm. And then see that vision through. It was called the Dream to Reality.
Wow. Of course it was.
Our Dream to Reality trip. That's what we called it.
Of course it was. So, and for you guys that don't know, Jenna and I are second cousins, and her sister Rahana is kind of also in this space in the sense that she's a channel, and I feel like they keep me like up to date with the terms because the wording that they both use is like so incredible.
Really?
Yeah, I always get like such inspiration from the words that you guys use in terms of like the languaging that you have around these kinds of things. I think is like just always so accurate and on point, but always very, very like high and light. So I love Dream to Reality, and your website's called something super cool too.
Beyond the Belief.
Beyond the Belief. Yeah. So I guess if you're saying like what it is that you do, obviously you fuse so many different disciplines together, let's say.
Yeah.
But really like the success of you being a manifesting generator is that you've found your own spin on it and you've like not taken any of them so literally and also then kind of like morphed it into something that's all of its own. So can you speak a little bit about how you ended up like, you know, I guess getting the courage or the belief or whatever it was that allowed you to kind of think that you could like make sense of it all somehow and turn it into your own thing.
Yeah, I think the first thing that's really interesting to note is that I had no intention of taking all of these modalities and learning all of these things and bridging it into my sessions. It's kind of something that I've always just been interested in learning and discovering new ways of looking at the human psyche and human emotion and how we are able to live more lighter and freer in our lives. So that was kind of the main driving factor of why I've learned all of these things. But I think what it comes down to is that I have been able to see a perspective in how they all work together. And by being able to see where something might work and where something might not work has been a true specialty of mine that I see that I'm really exercising that ability to pick and choose what kind of works for some people and what doesn't. So it's not necessarily the modality, but it's knowing when to use what that I really feel like I've been honing in on to get the success that I have with my clients.
Yeah, which is amazing because I've had many sessions with you before and I feel like there's no, it's like you threw away the manuscript. You know, it's like you'll just take it whichever way you go. And you really do feel like held. Like, oh, okay, Jenna's like totally, I'm in her hands kind of thing. And I'm like so safe in her hands. So I think in that way, you know, I mean, many ways, but in this way, you're like really, really living your design because it's, you know, like I said, it's that holding space and there's a very sort of like round, full, complete energy to the way that your sort of chart flows, let's say. Now, just for everybody that doesn't know Psyche, what's like the, how do you describe it in like a one or two sentence situation?
Yeah, so Psyche is a modality where you access your subconscious mind in a conscious state, not through hypnosis or anything like that. So you have full conscious awareness of what's happening. And we're able to tap in to the subconscious mind using muscle testing to transform perceptions of trauma, stresses that you might have, beliefs that you might have in just minutes. So by integrating both hemispheres, the left and right brain, we're able to create a whole brain conjunction so that your brain is able to process these situations and experiences and beliefs that you've maybe picked up or want to change in a whole brain state so that you're able to access and use more of your brain rather than just one. So what happens is that we generally go through life and we process life through one side of our brain. So there's whole brain, brain dominance theory. Okay. And so it's the idea that we only process certain situations and certain experiences through one hemisphere. So when we're stressed or when we feel out of control or we don't feel like, you know, anything less than how we should be, right? Generally, there is something going on in our brain that's not processing correctly. So through this modality, we're able to make sure that we're processing these stresses properly. And then through that, the stress goes away because we're accessing more of the brain. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you've heard that, you know, we only access maybe a few percent of our brain capacity. So imagine if we're really able to turn that on and see life through that lens.
Mm. And so there is something in Psyche called a balance. I mean, basically most of the work is doing what we call a balance, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And a balance is, I guess, installing a new belief into your subconscious and getting rid of an old one.
Yeah. So it's the process of integrating both hemispheres to create balance in the brain. Yeah.
So what's really interesting, and this is what I think is like, this is where Jen is so brilliant in pushing like frontiers and not ever taking something too dogmatically and literally, is that she knew what emotional authority was. Being emotional, an emotional MG, and you balance for it.
Yeah, it was actually in a Psyche workshop in LA. And I remember talking to a few people who actually had heard about me through you. And so they were, you know, had the lens of human design and understanding what authority was. And I said, well, you know what? I was tired of being an emotional authority. Like, I just didn't want to be that way anymore because I wanted to make decisions a bit quicker. So it's not that I wanted to release my emotional authority because I really, you know, understood how it was helping me, but it was just the time, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like time is so linear. Like the fact that we say something takes a certain amount of time, that's just a very linear way of looking at it. So I just wanted my emotional authority. I wanted to be able to transform it so that I was able to process it in 5 minutes as opposed to 24 hours as I was how I understood before. So I first tried to change my authority and become a sacral authority. Because I just wanted the answer then. But that didn't really work out. So I made sure that I balanced that I had a 5 minute emotional authority.
Amazing.
And I remember people were like, aren't you changing God? I'm like, aren't you God though? Mm-hmm. Like, can't we do whatever we want?
Yeah, totally.
So what I love about like human design is being able to see all the things that I am and then taking what I want from it, which is why I love the way you describe it, because I know other people might take it and see it dogmatically. Mm-hmm. Like, this is how I must behave. If I'm not living this way, then I'm not living correctly.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's the way it should be looked at. And that's definitely not the way you look at it.
Yeah.
So I made sure that, you know, I changed this belief that my emotional authority was going to take a certain amount of time. Yeah. And now, you know, when I need to make decisions, I sit with it. I definitely still go through a wave.
Mm.
Definitely still at maybe 80% certainty as like, you know, an emotional authority is. But I definitely feel a new sense of like energy and decision making that I've just been able to access just by changing that belief and just using with the energies that I have and expressing it differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
On my terms.
Totally. And that's what I think, that's really the way that we should look at it is like, you know, if ever human design makes you feel like you're stuck or in a smaller frame than you fit into, or you feel limited by it, it's not about the human design. It's about the way that we're interpreting it. And are we like coming at it from like a disempowered place or a victim place?
Or just another authority to tell you what you should and shouldn't be. And I think that, you know, all of these tools are great, but like you said, you have to come from an empowered state. Otherwise, you're just going to let it kind of use you as opposed to you using it.
100%. Or just to put you in a box and have that as the reason for you staying small in this world.
Totally.
But I think what's so, you know, interesting is that both of you are so empowered, like have been so empowered since you were so young. And I know a huge part of it is obviously the way your mom like spoke to you when you guys were like growing up and the way she did things. Can you just kind of share? Because I'm thinking of like all the people, especially who are moms who are like trying to raise their kids and, you know, according to the design or in a conscious way and stuff.
Yeah.
Like what are the, you know, what are the things that Manera did differently?
Yeah, I think most parents try to let their kids explore as much as possible. But for me, now that I look back on what I did in my childhood, like I was in acting and in theater for over 15 years. And then I was also a 3-season athlete. So I was just able to do everything.
This is why I like had to have you on, because I was like, I don't know more MG than Jenna. Like,
and I'm like, what MG?
It's insane. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it was just being able to be given the space to do what I want. And also to change my mind. Like there were some times where I like liked certain things or I wanted to learn certain things and then I just didn't do it. Right. And so I know a lot of parents might make their kids feel bad about switching things. I just worked with a woman today, actually, who we were going through her childhood and she felt like she had to get permission to do things because her dad was like, you never stick to anything. Why are you such a quitter? And then it was interesting because it actually played out into her relationships of how she doesn't quit being with men who are less than what she expects because she doesn't want to quit.
Whoa.
So crazy how that belief of being like stop quitting. And then, but anyways, back to my mom. She definitely gave me the space to explore as much as what I wanted to and didn't really, you know, kind of box me in to say, well, you just did this for a week. Why aren't you doing it anymore? And before, I used to give myself a lot of grief for changing my mind. And that was one of the most liberating things. That and eating. When I learned about human design.
Tell people about that too.
Well, my sister and my mom are both projectors. So they would always make fun of me for how much I ate. And I love food. Like, I love food on another level. Like, I will go to certain places and visit because of food and music. Like, those are really the driving factors of, like, my fun.
And also, like, you should just also tell people that you are, like, your sense of adventure is, like, giant. You have, like, such a big, like, zest for travel and, like, seeing the world and moving all over the place and, like, experiencing loads of different things. So that, like, curiosity as well, like, really plays into, you know, like the fact that you stay so curious about the world and don't view the curiosity as like, I guess because curiosity, you know, your life is one big unknown, but to you, that doesn't make you feel insecure. That makes you feel secure.
And that's interesting you say that because even when I was at uni, like I was studying physics for 2 years, like on track to do something in science. And then 2 years later, after that, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And I went and I studied Islamic mysticism and Sufism. And I was like, I'm out. Like, I'm going to study somewhere else. I moved to London. Like, I was in New York and then I moved to London. And I just studied something completely different. And everyone was like, what are you doing? What are you going to do with this? I'm like, I don't care what I'm going to do with it. I just know that I'm interested in it. And I just always follow that because I think something that's always been within me, and I didn't know that it was an MG trait, but just always following what excited me. And always making sure that I was doing that. Because honestly, when I didn't, I would feel so depressed. And I would feel flat and I'd feel like I have nothing to offer to the world because I'm not getting excited. And when I learned that that's what I was supposed to do, I was like, okay, I'm just going to explore everything.
Totally. And I think because you've had the, maybe because you had the taste when you were quite young of what it feels like to be actually excited and living your design, quote unquote, that's what made you so resistant to being in the not self of like feeling like nothing's flowing, feeling stuck, feeling depressed.
Exactly.
But I think, you know, when so many people ask about like how to get lit up and how to, you know, find out what it is, what it is that excites you, like what you're saying is you just tried so many things. And that's really what it comes down to is like you don't, you can't just know by sitting on your couch and like conceptualizing.
100%. And I think that also just part of being an MG is that you will not do one thing. So just look at how my life has like panned out thus far. It's like I'm using so many different modalities, so many different ways of approaching the same situation. And that's just what I know to do because that's what gets me excited and what interests me. If I just did the same thing every day, I would be like,
so uninspired.
And I wouldn't want to help people. And that actually happened when I was just, you know, always just doing Psych K and not really doing other things. I was kind of getting bored. Even though it was helping a lot of people. And I was like, wait, no, I need to like bring in my other modalities that I use. Like I need to bring in flowers. I need to bring in emotion code. I need to bring in, you know, all these different things that I enjoy and create like a space for people to transform with these tools. And I had to remember that they're not coming to me necessarily for the modality. They're coming for the change. And however I make that happen, who cares?
Right? 100%.
So that's the way I lead now.
And it's really that like when I say to people what you do, I'm like, she's just like a transformation coach. Like that's really what you do is like you just help people like do quick transformation. And that's, if you feel like you're getting that, then that's why. You know, that's why they came to you.
And I think at the end of the day, it's like with this line of work, it's like, you know, especially people have tried so many different things to try to fix their issues, whether it's allergies or, you know, stress or anxiety or things like that. And when they come to me, I'm kind of like this weird, like quirky, you know, mix of all of these things and it just works, right? So just know that like that mix of things that you have will kind of come together and will work for you. In whatever you're doing.
100%. And I think, you know, I can almost hear people saying, well, yeah, it's easy for you to say now that you're on the other side, but like, let's also not forget you're a DJ on the side. And that's a career that is only literally just getting started, but you're not doing it just because you're telling yourself, oh, well, I'm already doing something else, or oh, that's unrelated, or you're not asking yourself any of those questions.
Mm-hmm.
How do you approach like your, you know, the DJing and all that kind of stuff on the side? Like what is the attitude that you have currently with it?
Yeah, I think first it was a huge like reframing that I had to do, in the sense that there's nothing that's on the side. Like everything I'm doing is a choice that I want to do because it's my life. Not because it's I do it sometimes. Like, so yeah, I might not be professionally playing out there as much as I want now, right? And I might be more professionally like, you know, in line of doing this transformational work with other people. But I don't see it as one or the other. It's like I just eat, breathe, and live what I love to do. And I don't, you know, I don't like make myself feel like, oh, well, right now I'm a transformation coach and between 7 and 9 p.m. I'm a DJ.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no, what for me being a DJ is just being able to, again, hold a space and create space for people to enjoy and let go. What do I do with my transformation when people come in sessions? It's a space for people to create and transform and let go.
Yeah. So this is a really important point for people when they're asking like, how do I find my innate skills, or what's the best job for me, or blah, blah, blah. It's like, it's so not about the specifics of the job. It's about, does the job allow you to shine your gifts through?
Yes.
And the job is just the vessel or the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, like two seemingly different quote unquote endeavors or careers that you're into, you're still providing, you're still bringing the same energy, and you're still bringing the same energy in your personal relationships. And you're still bringing the same energy when you're, you know, thinking, when you're at the coffee shop, when you're in an Uber, like it's all the same thing because you're the same person throughout all those different experiences.
Yeah.
You know, and you really are a space holder.
Mm-hmm. And I think that was one of the biggest things that I learned from you, was that I have this ability to hold space. So I do group healings, and I'm able to, you know, transform a lot of people at once, whether that's through sound or whether that's through healing vibrations. You know, they're all different things that kind of represent the same thing, just in a different way. And I think that after learning that, that was one of the traits that I should be expressing more, this space holding, right? Like I just told you an idea that I had, which is just another way to hold space for people in a different way, kind of irrelevant to both of those things, but also mixed at the same time, right?
Totally.
So I think it's just finding, you know, what is it that's in your chart that kind of is expressing to you that this is the type of work you should be doing, or this is the type of feeling you should be looking for, and then just finding ways that you can do that through activities that let you
up. 1,000% And I love that, you know, for you, the way you really have, like, you know, whether consciously or unconsciously, the way that you really put it into place is that you used to do just one-on-one sessions, and now, you know, you do these group healings. Just to explain to people what goes on in those group healings and what do you do?
Yeah. So using a mix of modalities, I can't exactly explain what I do because I'm still trying to figure that out. But I am basically able to hold space for a lot of people and just basically send out different healing vibrations and transform people on like their soul level. So just by setting intentions, I've kind of figured out this way of accessing people's energy space with their permission, and then transforming or sending energy in a way that's directly towards the intention that they're setting. So maybe you can speak about your experience.
Yeah.
Because I thought that was so interesting, because you actually forgot that it was happening.
I totally forgot. So she, so essentially what Jen is saying is that if you sign up to one of her group healing sessions.
Yeah, they're called upgrades.
Upgrades. And there you do them, she does them remotely. So you can be anywhere in the world, because obviously the idea is that like,
quantum.
Time, you know, yeah, it doesn't limit us with anything. And, you know, she can access your personal energy from wherever, as long as you allow her to, by obviously the signing up is the part of where you're allowing someone, letting someone in. So I signed up for an upgrade. When was it? Like a few weeks ago now.
Yeah.
And it was to do with, I've forgotten what it was again.
It was just an energetic reset that I had. I was just saying to everyone, you know, set your intentions. I know that you set an intention around like, you were kind of feeling a little bit blah and you just wanted, I mean, it can be simple as that, guys.
Yeah.
Like you can just say, I'm kind of feeling like not
the
best.
Or whatever. And I woke up the next day and I'd totally forgotten that you were doing it. And I felt so happy and in love with life. And I swear it hasn't gone since. No. I mean, these things really, I mean,
yeah,
it's not just a one-time thing.
Absolutely.
Once it's in you, that's it.
Absolutely.
It's in you.
It's like, think about it. It's like changing your vibration and frequency. And once that's changed, it's not going to go back to the way it was, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that I love about this is that even like months later, people are like, oh, you know, I did that throat chakra upgrade you did and I'm still speaking my truth and I'm still being able to, you know, say things to people that I would have been so afraid of saying before. And I think that's what's so special about this is that once you've transformed something, it doesn't go back unless, you know, you let it happen.
Mm. Yeah. So what are those conditions that would mean that someone goes back? Like,
well, I think that's also a linear way of looking at it. Maybe in my language just now, goes back, but I think it's just another layer uncovering to you, you know, this is where you are right now. What are you going to do with the situation? Right. Or it can be something that you don't want to let go of, right? And that you just want to keep living out because you don't know what it's like to live without that, right? So, for example, when I was struggling with anxiety, like I just had like a obsessive need to control things and like really just be in charge. And if I wasn't, then I would feel out of control and I would get anxious and I'd have panic attacks. And so for me, it was like, was I willing to let go of the control? But then what was I really like letting go of? Like what my control was related to my anxiety. And if I wanted to let go of my anxiety, I needed to let go of my control. So if we're setting intentions for things like I want to get over, I don't know, let's say my ex-boyfriend, right? I'm setting an intention to get over the stress of my ex-boyfriend. But then after the upgrade, you're like, I still feel stressed about my ex-boyfriend. It's like, well, let's unpack that. Do you feel like there's anyone else out there for you? Do you feel like you need to hold on to him for a certain reason? So it's really just understanding where you're coming from and where your intentions are. And is that something you really want to let go of? Before you make that choice.
One of the best, because after having had just one session with Jenna, which was, we did a stress transformation.
Oh my God, it was
the
like
first thing
10
I did.
Seconds.
And it was instant. And I felt so different straight away. This is about,
it was a year ago.
Yeah, it was a year ago.
Yeah.
Literally up until around this month, we're in October. And we like had did a psyche. Jenna had done it with my sister and then did it with me. And my sister's called Sophia, funny enough. So it's Jenna, Sophia, and Jenna. Anyway, and basically what had happened was it was so instant in me and it was so tangible. I think that's also the other thing about this work is like it's so tangible that you can describe it and you can still have like a non-belief of like, oh, really? Can you like change someone that quickly or whatever?
Yeah.
Once you've received it, then there's no doubt in your mind, I think, that this works.
Absolutely.
So then in February, we did the course. We did the psyche course ourselves to get to become facilitators.
Yeah.
So when we did the course in February, we did it with like maybe 10 or 12 other people, all people we knew. We all did it together. And that's where you really see that it's something that's so real and so true because we all experience it together.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, that thing that used to bother me, that stress transformation, it just has not, it just doesn't affect me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like that stress is like forever gone in my system.
Yeah.
But I remember what I was going to say, which was that one of the best things that I learned from Psyche, which they taught in the course, is this concept of secondary gain.
Mm-hmm.
And I've like spoken about it a lot since because I love it, which is that, which I think is also playing into what you're describing about how sometimes you think you want something, like you want to lose 10 pounds or you want to get in, you break up with your boyfriend or whatever it is, but you don't actually truly want it because there's a secondary gain, meaning that there's something that you're also benefiting from.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think just like losing weight, that's another great example, right? It's like, we want to lose weight, but then do we want to be seen? Do we want to get that sort of attention that we feel like we might get? And these are all beliefs that are just kind of stacking up just in a different light through our own desires. So it's kind of like, you know, be careful what you ask for, you know, is it what you really want?
Yeah.
But the beauty is that you will only attract those things if you're ready for it and if that's something you want. So yes, you can have an intention or you can, you know, use a modality like Psyche to remove these blocks, but only until you want to change.
Yeah.
Do you want to and will you?
And I think what's so interesting, and this is where like, you know, any of these things, human design, astrology, psyche, like it's all different ways of describing the same like universal truths.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, you know, from the human design perspective, what it's saying is like, listen to like the way you're designed, what your soul, who you really are wants rather than like your conditioned self.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially this the reason why I love this concept of secondary gain so much is because it's like, it's not about the outside thing. Like 10 people could all want to lose weight for the different reasons. So it's not about the weight loss. It's about, that's just the symptom.
Mm-hmm.
And underneath is like the real cause, which is why this digging and needing to understand yourself and have that languaging for it.
Absolutely.
Is so helpful.
Yeah. That's why it's, I always find it so interesting when people come to me, they're like, I want $1 million. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Like, why do you want $1 million? What will that do for you? Mm. Right? Are you struggling with feeling safe and secure with what's happening and what can come to you and how much abundance can come to you? Do you feel like you're being controlled in some way that you don't feel like you can, that abundance is yours?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just interesting when we, because I've done over 1,000 sessions now. So it's like really unpacking it. It's so fun. I love like just being like, oh, I see the link there. But yeah, I think that's so interesting.
Yeah. And so you know that there's as many reasons as there are people for mm-hmm. wanting to do the exact same thing, basically. Yeah. So that also, I guess, takes us a little bit back to, you know, talking about human design and the fact that for you, you know, the reason why you do what you do and it's in your chart is like, you don't do it for the money or for the success or for the whatever. However, I think one of the most pervasive sort of conditioning around like achievement and stuff in our world is about like almost this idea that like you have to think about money and success, or you have to know how you're going to get there, or you have to prioritize, like that has to be at the forefront of your mind when you're doing what you're doing. Otherwise, money's not going to come to you. Otherwise, success is not going to come to you. And you're such a good example of someone who allows the fun and the play of it to like dictate you.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're not attached to those things, they just kind of come naturally to you.
Yeah. And I found that, you know, for example, before I even got into this work a few years ago professionally, where I was just, you know, kind of using these modalities for fun and just for my own amusement.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really on track to go work for a not-for-profit. And I thought that that's what I needed to do in order to help people.
Wow.
But I also was like super drained at the idea that I was, there was a fixed income for me. And it's not that money was like ruling that, but I was like, oh,
feel you're telling limited.
Me. It was like, you're telling me that's all, like that there's no opportunity to do anything else. And now like with the line of work that I do, it's like, once I get a creative idea, I just put it out there and then there's money.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like, I'm coming from that point of accessing that creative center as something that's connected to the abundance that I make. So even when I do things and I'm like, oh, this is for money, I need money, I'll make no money on it. Because I've just made it my point that if I'm living authentically to me, it's because I'm helping other people.
Yeah.
It's providing value in some way and I love doing it.
Yeah.
Those are the three things that will make me money.
Yeah. So that's a perfect example of someone who has that totally, totally open heart ego center, because she has like, you know, it's like her open center and there's no gates that are like colored coming out of it. So it's really that, it's literally, I love that you said, like when you think about making money, it doesn't come to you. And that's how it works for everybody who has that similar thing, which I think is, it's so cool that you've seen that in your own life, because I think one thing is to hear it and then like trusting it is so hard until you see it happen in your real life.
Totally. And I've tried, I've experimented with it where it's like, if I'm, you know, coming from a place where I need this money or I have to make this money, or I say I have a goal of how much I want to make in this month because everything's so, you know, open, there's no set income.
Yeah.
I'll surpass that if I stop thinking about it. I'm like, okay, what can I offer to people? What can I do that's exciting? What do I want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that really leads me now in terms of my success and my growth in my career.
Yeah.
Does it make me happy to do it?
Mm-hmm. And that's, I just love, like, I'm so happy that you're like sharing this, because I think there's still, we're kind of living in that time where we're like crossing over, obviously, from old paradigm to a new paradigm, a new way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds so glib to say to people still like, oh, you know, just do what you love and the money will come. And we still have a problem, like collectively, like we still have a problem, like really trusting that. So I love the fact that you're an example of how that it actually does work. And if you try to do it the old way, it literally doesn't.
Yes, literally. And I was like struggling before I even knew any of this. Like it was always money centered, money focused, right? Because it's like, why do you work? You work to make money, right?
Yeah.
And that always left a not the nicest taste in my mouth. I was like, what, you work for money? Like I just found that to be so weird. Always.
Wow.
Like, and I had no idea why. It's not that I just wanted to like, you know, live in like complete like, you know, isolation and not make money and just like, you know, give my whole life up in service. Like, I didn't want that either. Like, you know, I like this mix of like, I was telling my mom the other day, I was like, I feel like I'm in Harry Potter, but like in a muggle's world. Cause I like do all this magic and I'm helping people get rid of things that they never thought they'd get rid of. But then it's like, I'm successful and I am able to support myself and like do things and provide for people that I never would even have that as an option.
Yeah.
Going down that route, just thinking, okay, I'm in a job for money. Like I would never have the same opportunities as what I have now in terms 100%. Of giving to people.
Yeah. And I really feel like, and maybe you'll tell me your take on this, but I really feel like in general, even if we are working for somebody else, even if we are working for a brand or a whatever, there's got to be like more and more move to being independent where whether you work for yourself or you work for somebody else, you have that ability to like be compensated for exactly the amount of input that you're kind of putting in. So whether that's your hours, but it's also your creativity, it's also your innovation, it's also all these things. Like we have to be moving into a world where that's much more the reality of things.
Yeah. And I think that starts with when people actually recognize that they are being valued for what they have to offer, not just, let's say, because they're doing this and they're getting paid for it, but they're seen for really who they are and what they can offer on a larger scale, if that makes sense. And it's not just, oh, you're doing this job, so you get paid for this amount. No. But it's like people are really going to be waking up and kind of going on their own directions with maybe the jobs that they're in and carving a new path that maybe wasn't there before.
Yeah.
And getting recognized, whether that's like financially for them or, you know, with status or with recognition.
Fame.
You know, it can come in so many different ways. It doesn't 100%. Have to come through a dollar bill.
Yeah. Impact. I mean, in human design, you have like the different motivations. So you have like money, success, fame, being seen, making an impact. Like those are all different and separate things. And for some people, you know, in general, we're told we should want those things, but then we also have like the biggest issue, like worrying about judging ourselves of what if I follow my need to be famous? Like, is that bad? Are people going to judge me? Are people going to, you know, think I'm an evil person or think I'm so full of myself or all this stuff? And actually like those things are literally compensation for the fact that you're putting energy into the world.
Exactly.
And things are coming back to you.
Mm-hmm. And I think that like, you know, if you are, let's say, driven by fame and money, I know that's in my sister's chart, right? And she's like an amazing channel. Like, I want her to be famous.
Yeah.
Like, people need her.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
100%.
So it's like, if you have something like maybe in your chart that is, that's driving you as well, you really have to look at like how amazing you are and what you have to offer to the world because it's needed in some way, right?
Yeah.
So it's okay to go after that.
100%. And what it suggests is that following it will lead you to where you need to go. So if something promises you fame, don't turn it away. Don't, you know, say no because it's so scary that maybe it means that you would be famous and what would people think? It's like, no, that's a good thing for me. I need to follow that carrot in life. That's my carrot, you know? So that's, it's so important to think about that now because I really feel like our whole attitude to the way we work and show up with our gifts and stuff in the world is like being turned on its head.
Yeah.
So.
And even that like perception of fame of thinking like, oh, you know, why me? Or like, why should I have this? And it's like, but why not? You know? And like, everyone, I feel like, has so many unique talents, whether or not you're like known by millions of people or known by a few hundred people, like you are impacting people's lives and how they show up to others. And that basically is like a whole domino effect for the world.
And really genuinely, like the only reason that we have the issue with, let's say, fame or any of these things is because we really still believe in lack in the sense of like, oh, if I am famous, then I'll be above people. That would make me better than people. Or people would look at me and think, who does she think she is? Or that means that there's not enough to go around. Or all these things, which obviously you're helping people on the daily to abolish, basically, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I know more lack.
Yeah. What would you say are the main limiting beliefs? Like, let's say if I said to you the three biggest limiting beliefs, aside from like, I'm not good enough or I'm not worthy.
Yeah.
What are the ones that you're seeing really sort of come up in people?
I would really say, you know, it's really hard to pinpoint three, but if I'm trying to keep it general, maybe of the belief that I can't. Like whether that's a permission that you're, you know, seeking from someone else or validation or through financial commitments or whatever it is, like I can't do that. And you know, as a child, you know, we're we hear the word I can't like 80 times more than I can.
Yes.
Do you know that?
So true.
And so our genius levels like drop.
Mm.
And so then we actually believe that we can't do these things, or we can't live out our creativity or our expression or have the life that we want. Like, I can't do this. So changing that to I can, like imagine, like you probably have an idea and you're sitting on it and you're just, you're not doing anything because you believe that you can't.
Mm.
Right? And on so many levels.
Mm.
So that's a big one.
Yeah.
I think another one would be, I guess like deserving is kind of like worthiness, right? Like I deserve the best.
I think they're different. Yeah.
But I feel like they're vibrationally a little bit different, because I am worthy is like, I am worthy of X, Y, Z. But deserving, it's like this idea that we before would need to work for something to get it. But it's like, no, I deserve abundance. I deserve success in my relationship. Like I deserve a fulfilling career. It changes from being worthy, because now it's almost in this action-oriented energy of like deserving. Okay, now I can have it. I'm deserving of it.
And it touches a little bit more on like the openness to receive.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than worthy is like knowing you're like a great person and you have value.
Yeah.
Whereas I think deservingness is a little bit of like, how open am I to receiving what life has to give me?
Yeah.
Which is really big too.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine if we all
believed,
if the whole world believed I can and I deserve.
Yeah.
How different those things
would be.
So
different. But imagine just how many fears you're sitting on currently just based on those like four words.
Yeah.
Like,
it's so true.
And what potential could happen for you.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder whether then something just really helpful, something that I do to help myself is like when I notice myself telling those stories, I try on the opposite and like kind of pay attention to my level of like how weird or icky that feels to say. Like, let's say, for example, I say I don't know, climb a wall. That's just a silly example, but I can climb that wall and see how much it kind of like makes me squirm inside as like a gauge to see how close I am to like the canness of it, you know?
Like, yes, that's so good. To like get in touch with the vibration of how it's making you feel when you say it.
Which is almost like, I guess affirmations, some people like them, some people don't think that they, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like them because they're just a gauge of like, how close, if when I say that thing or when I think that thing out loud, like how close am I to, you know, the
embodying
resonance
that.
Of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so when people come to you for a session, do you obviously are amazing at creating statements. If someone comes to you and says, I want to put in, I can, right? No, let's use something more specific, like I can climb that wall.
Yeah.
Would you, do you have like a series of checks that you use to make sure that, you know, like on their behalf, basically, that that's really what their soul wants? Like, would you, like how does your intuition, I guess, come into the session?
I think, I used to plan a lot ahead before my sessions, and I was like, oh, you know, they have this form and now I'm creating all these beliefs. And like, I was still trying to control the session rather than allowing it to flow. And what I've learned is that everything we need is right there in this now moment. So it's not about what isn't there, because that's just looking at lack, right? Like, oh, I have to prepare or I have to do something on my end. But really just like when I understood more that I'm here to hold space, like just me holding space, people are able to understand more about themselves just by me being there. I don't really even have to change things. And then all these like things will start to click in their head. Oh, this is what it is. You know, I think we've experienced that when we've been in sessions together. It's not necessarily like, okay, Jenna, this is what it is. And okay, this statement checks all the boxes.
Yeah.
And it's really just getting into the feeling of it. I'm really been more dropping into like my heart and seeing, okay, is this what is needed right now? Is this the best? And obviously my intuition will lead, but I try not to interject so much now, because I find that a lot of people's intelligence and like genius really comes out for themselves, and they can see that they have the answers within them. It's not about me having the answer. It's about uncovering that, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes we just need someone to be there for us to hold that space for it to blossom and grow. So I definitely used to be much more controlling and have all these like things I needed to check off, like the Virgo in me and, you know, do this and that. But now it's really just knowing that everything that needs to get done will happen, and everything that needs to transform will transform. And I just always set really powerful intentions, and I say a little prayer just to make sure that everything goes as it should. And it always does. And even more fabulous than I ever thought it would.
Wow, that's so amazing.
So it's like the more I let go and the more I just am there, fully present. Mm. Honestly, being present has transformed my whole practice.
Wow.
And it's a process because, you know, as practitioners or facilitators or healers, people come to us because they want to be fixed, right? Mm-hmm. But I always approach it as that they're amazing and they have everything they need.
Right.
And we're just letting go of all that ickiness that's mm-hmm. kind of blocking them from seeing that.
And I think because you see that for someone before they can see it, mm-hmm. you don't see yourself as like, I'm this guru helping people. You're literally like, I'm holding space for the better version or the best version of you who's already there.
Yeah.
So then it makes it very easy for them. So I think what's a really interesting thing, because I think the concept of letting go is, you know, banded around so much. But I think that, you know, people sometimes, I find it hard. Like I've been in places in my life where I haven't really understood like, what is letting go? Is it doing nothing? But as you're saying it to me, what's becoming so clear is like, you have honed your skill. You know your skill. You're confident in your skill. Mm-hmm. So the letting go is just letting the skill move through you instead of trying to micromanage the skill, basically.
Absolutely. And it's really like, it transformed from like, coming from an ego-based reality of being like, I'm the fixer. I'm going to change people's lives. It's me, it's me, it's me. To being like, okay, someone's coming to me because they want to be the best versions of themselves. And how do we allow someone to be the best versions of themselves? We allow them to discover that on their own, right? It's the difference between teaching someone or giving them something, right? If you give someone something, they don't know what to do with it. If you teach them how to use it and how to access that, it's a completely different world because now they have a different energy moving through them that's like, okay, wait, no, I am just as, you know, capable of doing this. Just as someone like Jenna who's maybe done this a bazillion times.
Yeah.
Right? But it's understanding that we all have that access point if we give it the space and we give it the environment to see it grow.
But I also think as you're saying this, this must be why as well your stuff really sticks because you really do like fully embed it into people because you've allowed them to like take control, quote unquote, of the situation themselves too within that. They're not just like being worked on for an hour and then they leave.
Totally. Yeah. And that's like something that I found to be interesting when I just, you know, was doing Reiki when I was younger. I was also younger, but I didn't really like have a concept of like, oh, they're transforming on their own. I always was taught like, oh, I'm the one doing it. I'm the one holding space. But really, everyone is like a mirror in some way. And I find it really interesting because so many of my clients come to me and they're mirrors of what I'm dealing with myself.
Wow. Yeah.
In things that I didn't even want to look at. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, I have this problem and I'm struggling with this. And I'm just like, me too.
100%.
Let's work it out together. But through that transformation, I transform.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So
that's why I just love it. Privilege, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
And the same with me. Like I'll, you know, whenever I do a reading for somebody and stuff just starts coming out of my mouth, I'm like struggling to also want to write it down on a piece of paper on the side because I'm like, shit, that's exactly what I need to hear myself. And it didn't come from my head. Like I know it's like someone above going, this is what you need to learn now, honey.
Totally. You know? And I think in this line of work, you know, of being able to show people or allow people to express themselves and work through their stuff, that there's so much knowledge there for ourselves that I think, you know, everyone that does this work or is in this line of work of helping others is really helping themselves at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So
100%.
It's kind of cool. It's like going to therapy every day for yourself.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also that way in every job that is really aligned with you in the sense that like, again, not the literal thing like being a singer. It's not that you were never sung to, so you need to sing, but it's like what the singing gives you, the way that it heals you is because you didn't get something and then you're providing it for yourself and then you end up providing it for other people. So it's like whatever you do, I feel like needs to feel some kind of healing to you in some kind of way. Like
absolutely.
It feels like you're bringing yourself something that you were never receiving before, or it feels like you're learning about yourself, or it feels like you're learning about the world, or it allows you to be explorative where you were never allowed to be explorative as a kid or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So sometimes I think of like, what was the pain point or what was the thing that you felt that the world was really lacking in terms of not the literal thing, but the energy of something that you weren't receiving?
Yeah, the essence of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because I've always had this essence of like wanting to help people that was always driving me, whether or not it made me money. And then I realized like, okay, wait, actual fun in this and I can express myself in different ways. And I don't have to say, oh, I'm a DJ or, oh, I'm like, you know, I hold space for people. I don't even like the term coach. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I just help people recognize who they are.
Yeah.
For, you know, without any of that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that was just so beautifully said by you.
It's just, you know, one of those things where one of the things that I mainly learned from human design is that every single job, you could just, it's just about the way that you see it in yourself and the way you approach it is like every single job is some kind of healing and some kind of transforming the world. But it's just, you know, someone wrote to me recently on Instagram being like, I am a, I guess like a, what'd you call it? Like for a medical practice, like she just processes all the papers and stuff. And she's just like but I love it.
Yeah.
And she's just like, but I love it. And I like feel guilty that like maybe I'm not transforming the world and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, but you are, of course you are.
Yeah.
And like, if you love it, then you are. Mm-hmm. If you don't love it, then you're not. You
exactly.
know what I mean? That same exact job is not the spiritual practice for you if you don't feel like that is, you know, making you happy or lighting you up or helping your gifts like shine.
Absolutely.
You know?
And I think it's all about like alignment. I know that's such like an overused word, but it's truly like when you're in alignment with what you love and what you're loving to do, it doesn't matter, like I said, if it's impacting in your perception two people or thousands of people, you know, like I think with Instagram and everything, it gets a little distorted because it's like, oh, this person has like 500,000 followers. They're impacting so many people. And it's like, I've worked with people like that. I've worked with people with millions of followers and they don't feel like they're helping anyone. They don't feel like they're impacting people. They feel like they're constantly being judged or like if they move this way, then people are going to follow them that and then they don't want to do the wrong thing. So it's like everything
that can also
is
a, be a box
exactly,
that can limit you. Yeah,
absolutely. Mm. So don't look at it as, oh, if you were doing something else or if you're doing this, then you would be aligned with who you are. It's like, really, if you're in love with what you're doing and you feel a certain flow and you're happy, that's really all that matters.
Yeah.
Because who knows if I'm going to want to keep doing this work 10 years from now.
Yeah.
And I'm not holding myself to it.
Love it.
You know, it's just like, if I want to wake up today and do this, I used to book my sessions months in advance. Now I just go month at a time because I'm like, what if I don't want to do this anymore?
Yeah.
And I'm just allowing myself to be open to that and not feel like, oh, I have to do that because otherwise I'm never going to, you know, make money or I'm not going to be booked or this. And then...
And I love as well that there's also become like this almost idea that, you know, working with like helping like wellness or spirituality or whatever you want to call this thing is like somehow like a better job to have than whatever it is. And I love that you just said you're not holding yourself to stick to it and that you're open to changing things. And also obviously that's really living your design as a manifesting generator is allowing, creating the space to change your mind, you know, if you in 2 months decided that you want to spend more time making music, you have the, you've given yourself the flexibility to do that. And I think that so many people can say like, you know, yes, but this or yes, but that. I'm constricted by this, 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 and the other. But really, those things, and you've taught me this, those things are all just perception.
Yeah.
You know?
And I mean, I dealt with that too. I didn't just get here.
Yeah.
Okay, guys? Like, this didn't just like snap my fingers and I was like this and I'm living my life.
Yeah.
On purpose, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it took work. I had to go through all of these limiting beliefs and these limitations to say, okay, well, if I live like this, then there's no certainty. If I live this way, how will I know things are going to work out? But it's truly, it's that trust and knowing that I don't really care about next week. I just care about right now. And like, am I happy right now? I'm not going to do this work so that I can be happy a week later with some money, you know? Because what about all that time that I'm using to get up to that next week to feel happy in that? I think we get really caught up. And I think that's also a societal conditioning that's happening on the collective level of like, the security and like, where is it coming from? And like, I think we're all purging a lot of that old ancestral patterning and things like that, that have always been in this frame of mind of, oh, I have to do this so that I will have enough.
Yeah.
Rather than just knowing that really, and I still work on it every day, you know, of like getting more comfortable with truly being in the present and dropping into the present moment and not worrying about, you know, where my income is coming in the next month and just being open to that. And now I just take it as a game. I truly treat life as a game because I'm like, oh, if I want to change the rules here, then let me play by this belief and mm-hmm. see where this gets me. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm playing by this limitation, you know, I made a post recently. I was like, it's the universe isn't testing you. It's just showing you your belief systems.
Wow.
Because I hate this word of test. Like, no mm-hmm. one's testing you. It's just your mm-hmm. life, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, it's mm-hmm. just your life. Like,
yeah.
You know, what is it showing you? Is it showing you that you have lack mentality? Is it showing you that you're scared to be vulnerable? Is it showing mm-hmm. you that you don't feel like you're worthy of things? Like, whatever is happening in your life is a direct reflection of what you feel you deserve and what you believe.
Yeah.
So when you really change those perceptions, that's where that open-mindedness and that certainty and that trust that it will all work out comes from.
Yeah. And I'm a huge fan of, you know, like I just call it doing the 0.1 where it's like, mm-hmm. you don't have to say, oh, now I trust completely in the universe because that's like such a big ask.
Yeah.
But it's like, what if I was trying to entertain? How would that feel? Or maybe just, you know, when you pray or when you meditate, say, I'm willing to see something differently, or I'd like to see something differently, or, you know, help me see something differently. Because right now I'm really stuck and I don't freaking feel like I can ever let go of this mentality because I've known it forever, whatever it is. But, you know, from a historical point of view, you know, obviously life is just one big great unknown. And that's mm-hmm. the thing that we, none of us want to face.
Yeah.
And because we're kind of coming out of this old time from a human design perspective, you know, this era that we're in now, we're really coming to the end of it where it's like institutions are crumbling and, you know, like organizations and political bodies and all that kind of stuff. And it's becoming much more of an emphasis on the individual. The whole thing about being comfortable in the unknown is like really being highlighted because it's mm-hmm. like, you know, actually the best known is to feel that you can flow in yourself no matter what. Like you can navigate out of it and that you're capable and that you can and
absolutely.
That you deserve and that all these things. And not because you're special, not because of anything, but just because we all have that power within us.
And I think that's a great point you highlighted is that the only thing that is certain is uncertainty, right? Like truly, like nothing is set in stone. Mm. We don't know what's going to happen 10 minutes from now. We don't know what's going to happen a month from now. So why do we keep living in that fear, right? That's the energy of fear.
Mm.
Going into that space of the unknown and fearing it rather than embracing it and saying, all right, I'm ready. Because in this moment is going to lead to the next moment. And that moment will lead to the next moment. And so as long as I'm being focused on what's happening right now and what I can do from my own power and my vantage point, that's how I'm going to decide what the next moment is going to look like.
Totally. And what's really helped me, the thing that I start to see, like I've started to see life is like, imagine this is like a Game Boy.
Yeah.
And imagine that I literally cannot prove that you're real. All I can prove is that you're a character in my movie, right? And everything else and everybody else in it and everything, right? So why, instead of investing so much into like grasping onto things and fixing things and creating a narrative around who you are and the power you have over me and how you think and how you this. It's like, actually, what if, how differently would I act if this whole thing was like a simulation made for me to grow? And if we all acted a bit more like that, not in like a totally kind of selfish way where it's like, screw everyone else, obviously being kind, being considerate always, but really just understanding that like, we're supposed to live these life-centric lives where we understand that everything is just, you know, God in other forms trying to help us meet ourselves
absolutely.
Through someone else, through a different situation, through a different place. Like we're all just, it's a simulation, you know?
I totally believe that.
Yeah.
It's a Matrix.
Totally. 100%. I've never seen that movie, you know?
Yeah. No?
No.
I've only seen the first two.
And everybody like references all the time. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about because I haven't seen it. But I get the general concept. So I guess, you know, one of the other things that I kind of wanted to highlight about your design is the fact that you are a bridge person, which means that you are here to help people cross over from the old reality to the new reality.
It's the first time I'm hearing about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that's like something that's, again, like we can just see like by you describing what it is you do and how you approach it. I think when, you know, when we talk about any of these isolated concepts, people are always like, how does that actually look? Or how can I see that happen in someone's, you know,
how can I
make that real?
Yeah.
But I think, you know, speaking about your story and how you do things and then, you know, giving that kind of term, it's really tangible for people to see that is literally what you do. And by the way, if you have that, there are 1,000 different ways of doing it. It's just about, are you bringing the energy of helping people cross over into what it is you do?
Yeah. And I think one of the things about being an MG that I've realized is that your passion will fuel like your purpose even more, right? Mm-hmm. Like you won't be able to live in your purpose if you're not passionate about what you're doing. And that's just something I learned about me. Like maybe it's different for someone like my sister who's a projector. I don't see her with that same like flame, right? Yeah. She's always like, why are you like this? Like, I want to be like you. I'm like, you don't need to be like me.
Yeah.
But I'm here to show you that there are possibilities in the way that you're looking at your life differently, right? So it's like by me living with my passion and how that fuels what I do, she's able to see herself maybe in a different light.
1,000%.
So that she can live more out her design, even though we're totally different designs.
Yeah. And that's what's so cool. So every time that you're in a room with someone else and someone else is in your aura, so right now we're in each other's auras with less than 3 feet away from each other. And actually you can extend it. You can still fill people within 6 feet. Mm-hmm. And also we know you can fill people from wherever in the world too. That as well.
But, and planets.
Yeah. And dimensions. Yeah. But essentially what's happening to me right now, and just to give like a really like literal example of what happened, is like I've been recording all day. I've been chatting. I was like a little bit tired before you arrived. And then like me being able to literally feel that like playfulness and that passion and stuff. I mean, I'm talking like so fast and I'm so lit up and the whole thing. And that's the beauty of like, obviously knowing who you are, but also this incredible ability of like why we're here on all the same planet is so that we can like feel what it's like to be someone else. And so yes, you have a certain amount of definition yourself, but also like imagine how great it is to experience different aspects of self or humanness.
Yes,
when you're around other people.
Totally. And now that you say that, it's so interesting because I'm always, for whatever reason, I always feel more energized or like this when I'm around like non-energy beings like projectors. And so many projectors come see me.
Really?
Yes. And I find that really interesting now that you said that, because you know, when I'm with my dad or someone like, you know, who's a generator or something like that, I don't feel like my energy is on like, it's like amped up, right? Mm-hmm. But when I'm with like projectors, I feel like my energy is always like intensified. Mm-hmm. And I always remember my mom and my sister be like, you're always too much. I'm like, you're just not enough.
Yeah. And it's interesting, I guess. It doesn't always, you know, for everybody, you have to kind of figure out your own pattern. And sometimes it's not just specific to energy types or whatever it is, but I think because you have so many centers filled in and they're all like so bodily and so visceral, those centers, it's really something that is such a joy when you're using, obviously you're using it correctly, you know, it's such a joy to feel that filter through your system and to give you that life force. Like you feel the life force of
I feel alive. And that's why it's like when I was doing anything else that obviously now I know wasn't in the flow of my design, I would feel tired or like just low, and I didn't want to do it. Like I just hated always just needing to study one thing or do one sport.
So speak about that, because obviously you were doing a lot and you were feeling more tired, and now you're doing a lot and you're feeling more energized. And that's really the difference between, you know, allowing your joy to lead the way is that it's not about how much you do. It's about
how many different things you do.
Yeah. It's really about, are you doing the right things for you, the more aligned things that are aligned with your design?
Yeah.
Because they will give you energy. You can have like a super full day now and not feel that, you know, I mean, of course you feel like tired and you've had your day, but you wouldn't feel burnt out.
You heard the day I had today.
Yeah.
It was like
insane.
Like such a busy day. And I'm like, I'm going to do this in the evening. Like, and I was like, I was so excited because I was like, yeah, of course I am. And then I'm thinking, I'm like, this is my perfect day. It's like I'm helping people. I'm sharing my voice. I'm, you know, speaking to people in some way. Mm. And then I'm going to go home and like, you know, have a dance party and like eat and all the food at whatever time I want.
Because
I've let go of that.
I love it.
And that was another thing, like food, like, oh, you're supposed to eat this, this, and this. And I'm like, well, I'll eat at 11 o'clock if I want. And like,
fabulous.
I actually told recently, I told my dad, he was like, why do you eat so late? Because I would like call him before, like just the time difference. And I was like, he's like, why are you eating so late? I'm like, you know what? I'm so happy that I get to eat late and it's my choice and I feel so good. And you know, my mom, she was like, I'm going to have a piece of toast now actually. Because she was
so
like,
cute.
I don't eat after 6 p.m. But she like wanted that. She was denying it for herself. And I was like, well, you know what? Once again, what's bringing you joy?
Yeah. And this is really interesting that you're talking about this now with the difference of being a projector and being an MG is like, obviously you having that desire like so front and center to your being that when you're in touch with yours, you help other people get in touch with theirs.
Yeah. And that's something that I've noticed massively in my work is because now that I see, I actually, I think 85% of the people I work with are projectors.
Wow.
If I'm being honest.
Wow.
Yeah. And I find those energy types are more inquisitive,
mm-hmm.
whereas the other ones just kind of want to get it done quickly. Mm-hmm. And when I first learned this stuff, I didn't even want to learn this stuff.
Mm.
My projector mom dragged me there.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like,
of course.
I don't even want to deal with this. 4 days
of training.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's so true.
Completely. I was just so not into it. So it's interesting how that, you know.
Different. Yeah. We have different processes.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting, even as such a, like, when we talk about like, oh, you help people get on, you know, get in touch with their desires. Like, that could be the deepest level of deep desire, but it also could be the piece of toast.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
And it's the mundane and the ridiculous.
Yes.
And
but
all
at the end
of
the day, that's all a combination of just life, right?
Yeah.
It's not, it doesn't have to be just like grand moments. Like, I've just inspired someone to, you know, write a book and now they're a bestseller. It's like, no, how about I just showed them in some way, no matter how small it is, that they can have a little bit more joy in their life.
Yeah. And that's the freaking impact of living your design. It's like this energy of like just being self-certified and being self-approved and just allowing yourself to do what is right for you is freaking contagious energy.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. Because even without these like, you know, names of who we are, just without even knowing human design, just if you look at people who are really living their lives, right? And you just see them living to the life to the fullest.
You can't get enough of it.
You can't get enough of it. Doesn't matter if they're a projector, a reflector,
doesn't
an
matter.
MG, a piece
doesn't
of toast.
Matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's so true.
It's just like we all want that. So at the end of the day, it's like I see this as just, like you say, it's a blueprint of trying to figure out how we can live to the max.
It's just, it's all it is a really helpful system of languaging that helps you, that can help you get clear on what it is your jam is.
Mm-hmm,
you know?
Absolutely.
And there's plenty of people that live their design without ever knowing what human design is.
Exactly.
And there's plenty of people that know everything about human design and still struggle because it's an intellectual process for them rather than letting you just in your body, like lead the way of like, what is it that excites you and, you know, what is it that brings you joy and allowing ourselves to do more of that.
And I think that's one of the interesting things that I found because before I heard of human design before I knew you were really doing it. And I didn't like it because it was very dogmatic. It's like, oh, these types of people go into this line of work and this type of people go into this. And like, if you're a 6'2 at 50, you're going to do this. And I was just like, what? Like, no.
Yeah.
And I just remember reading that and I was like, this is not what it means. Like, if that's what it means, I don't want to have anything to do with this. It just felt like another religion. I was like, I don't want to deal with another rule of what I should do and shouldn't do.
100%.
And I love the way that you describe it and how you explain it because it really gives people permission to just find that energy or that frequency that they should be vibrating at.
Mm.
And then those activities align and you know, happen for them. And then they're like, oh, now I'm living my design. I'm a chef. Or now I'm living my design and,
totally.
You know, I'm like a babysitter or whatever it is. It doesn't 100%. Matter what it is. But
at
I think
all.
As long as we're giving life to whatever we're doing, that's all we can do.
I mean,
amen.
I mean, we should have just started with that sentence and then we wouldn't have had to have the whole podcast. That's amazing.
Oh,
I love you. Thank you so much for coming on.
I love you, Jenna.
On.
Thank you.